I pastored a church out in New Mexico, and we had some little boys in our church, and one of them came, was a visitor. He went to the Catholic church. So one Sunday, one of our boys went to the Catholic church to visit with that little boy. And so the next week he came to our church. And so while they're in the Catholic church, all the kneeling, and the little Baptist boy kept asking the Catholic boy, "What does that mean? What does that mean?" And so the next week when he came to our church, the preacher got up there and he looked at his clock, and the little Catholic boy said, "What does that mean?" The little Baptist boy said, "That don't mean nothing." Sorry, I don't see a clock. I don't see the wall even, but but I don't see a clock back there. I'm sorry I went over. I didn't intend to, but I'll just have to be shorter. I'll just have to be shorter this time. But if you'll take your Bible, John chapter 14. And I just want to read one verse. We all know this chapter. It's about where Jesus begins off. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I think the problem with belief today in our society is us. It's not God. God's not the problem. It's us. And so, you know, he said, if you believe in God, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But I want to read verse 15, because this is where we're going to get our text from. And I want you to think about this subject today, the principle of obedience. How do I obey God? You know, he said, let not your heart be troubled. We know in chapter 13, he ends his public ministry. He ceases, goes into the upper room. He's with the disciples. And he said, in chapter 13, he said, listen, where I'm going, you can't come right now. He said, one of you is going to betray me before the night's over. He said, and Judas and all the other things that's going on. But then he comes to chapter 14. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. So, you know, when I think about how is it, there's a principle. There's a way we worship God, and the way, the proper way, amen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God has a purpose. You know, you get saved, you know, you're not supposed to just sit around and, wouldn't it have been great when you got saved, you just went straight to heaven? Man, that would have been great. Man, you wouldn't have had all those health problems you got now. You know, when I turned 40 years old, my wife's sister sent me a birthday card. It had a picture of me standing at the top of this hill, and it's straight down. And it said, at least now you don't have to ask for directions. Straight down. I mean, something happens when you get older, amen? And there's no shame in that, amen? But it happens to all of us. I never thought I would live to be 60, amen, the way I lived before I became a Christian, the lifestyle I had. But you know what God did? He saved me. He changed me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You know what that word passed away means? That's what happens to you when you get old. You die. Passed away. The old me, when he got up from right there, God changed him. I'm just saying today that there's some principles about Christianity and about God, amen? And so I think when we read verse 15 of John chapter 14, in this verse he said, if, and that's a big word, isn't it? That's great theology, amen. If, amen? I mean, I've had people say, I wish if I'd have been born rich instead of good looking. Neither one of those happened, amen. They weren't rich or they weren't good looking. But he said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. I think the basic, there's some fundamentals in the Bible. You know, Jesus is God. We know that. You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's no doubt for you and I here this morning that Jesus is God. There's no doubt in the Trinity. You know, sometimes people say, that God looks like me or I look like God. That ain't true. God has a sense of humor, but it ain't that great. Amen. You know, does he look like me? Does he look like you? No. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's how you were created in the image of God. You say, well, you can't prove that. I can. You ever cook an egg? You got the shell. There's that white part in the middle. And then there's the yolk. Is it a yolk or is it an egg? It's one. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? That I don't know. I wasn't there. But I'm saying God made the chicken and then the egg came from the chicken. When God made Adam, he made him a full-grown man. He didn't make a little baby. He made him a full-grown man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. So God making a full-grown chicken? Yeah. He didn't make an egg and wait 2 weeks for it to hatch, amen, to get a chicken. Amen. I hope you understand. Maybe not coming from the farm, you don't. I don't know. But here in verse 15, and this is the principle of obedience. You know, why do you train your kids? Why do you tell your kids? I think that the most heard word that a young baby or young child should hear is the word no. You know what happens when they don't hear that word? They grow up to be one of the BLM members. You know what the difference is between BLM and Batman? Robin can go outside at night, or Batman can go outside at night without Robin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I was at the VA hospital last couple of weeks ago, and they have the, you know, little rooms kind of close together, and I was there, and there was a woman in the room across the hallway from me, and I could see in that door, and she was talking to this doctor. The nurse came in, asked her these questions, and what's wrong with you? You know, what's, you know, and she said, everywhere I touch, it hurts. And so the doctor came in, and he examines her. They give her an x-ray, and he said, lady, have you always been a redhead? She said, no, I was born blonde. He said, lady, you got a broke finger. Everywhere I touch, it hurts. Amen. You see, the principle for obedience is to love God. It's to love God. You know, when you think about, and it's so simple, when you got saved, and I think, listen, every Christian, because there's so many phonies, and I'm not picking on nobody, but I'm saying there are so many people today that come down to an altar and they make a profession of faith, but they don't get saved. That's all they do is say a little prayer. I put my hand on people's head, I pray with them, and you trust Christ as your Savior, and they get up and, oh, I'm saved. But you know what? They never, never grow. They don't think about this first principle about Christianity or about obedience. And that's what it is. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy being. Remember what Jesus told Peter. He said, if you love my sheep, feed them. What was he supposed to feed them? The word of God. The principles, amen. You know, in the Bible talks about the oracles of God. What are the oracles of God? You know what they are? That's where you and I find all the answers. You got a question? Here it is, right here. This is the oracles of God. This is where you find the answers, amen? And yet we see in our society today, people don't want the answers from God. They want help from government, from man. They live in their parents' basement until they're 40 years old. I hope nobody here does that. I mean, I only got one word for you, help. But here we see that Jesus in this chapter, in the first beginning of it, he says, let not your heart be troubled. See, when you're having trouble, some of it's because of our own doing. It's not God. God's okay, amen. He's always okay. God's always good. The problem is us. You know, when our kids were little, we took them on the bus and we sang, you know, this little light of mine. We sang those songs to those kids, our kids, my kids. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so as we look at these verses here, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Thank God. Amen. You know what the best part of this is? He's coming back for us. You know what the last message of the whole Bible is? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I mean, that's the last message you find in the Bible. Even so, come quickly. Hey, listen, we're living in the last day. That statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed with the golden head and of gold and silver and brass and iron and then iron and clay, that's history. The Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Alexandrian Empire, the Roman Empire. You know where we're at today? Those feet that are iron and clay today mixed together. There's no stability. When you mix iron and clay, where are we today? Think about what's going on in our society. Man, what a proof we see from the Bible, how true it is and how real it is. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, greater love had no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what he is, amen. When we look at this, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, amen. Love must be wholehearted. You can't be chicken-hearted or half-hearted or, you know, wishy-washy. We have to be wholehearted. And we know that in Deuteronomy 26, verse 16, Deuteronomy 32, verse 46, we see that he tells us about being wholehearted. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And then what do? We love our neighbors in the same way. You know, today people spit on people, they kick them. I'm amazed at all these crimes that are being committed today in daylight. Just because they can do it. You know why drinking and driving, people still drink and drive? Because they get away with it. The judge lets them go. And then they go over and run and get drunk and run over somebody else. They run into somebody else. They run in 5 or 6 DUIs later. It's the same thing with all this other stuff that's going on right now. They're not putting them in jail. They're letting them walk out the back door. And then when they come into your house, you have to shoot them. You say you wouldn't shoot nobody. Come to my house. I'm telling you, it's because nobody wants to obey the laws. There's laws. Man, when I was a kid, you couldn't even sit on the sidewalk. You couldn't cross the street in the middle of the street. You had to go down to the crosswalk and cross. They would pull you over. Couldn't drive around with beer in your car. Can you believe that? Yeah. But they don't do that now. I'm saying, listen, love must be wholeheartedly. Amen. We love God with all of our heart. Amen. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 6, You love the Bible. Amen. Or oh me. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of all men. They love that, amen? That's why these politicians, they get up there and keep making speeches and keep telling the same old lies. I heard Joe Biden this week say that gas is like $3.38, and when he took office, gas was $5 a gallon. That's a lie. We were paying $2 and right about $2 when Joe Biden went into office. You think he's telling the truth? I mean, I don't, but that's just me, amen. So he said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. What were these Pharisees? What were these religious leaders? They were politicians saying, you do what I say, not what I do. They're politicians. And we have it today in our society, and we see it all the time. I think that when David was king in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when it was a time that kings went forth to war, to battle, and David tarried on top of the rooftop, what happened? David stopped being a soldier and became a politician. He went out and murdered. How many politicians you think are guilty of murder? I can say a few of them I think that did. He stopped being a soldier. He became a politician. How many politicians, you know, take any woman they want, grab them, and, I mean, good night. You'd think they had a job in the circus working as one of those octopuses with all them hands they have. Can't keep them to themselves, amen. But here we see that he says, listen, if you love me, keep my commandments. The principle of obedience is love. I tell my kids, don't do that, because I love them. I tell my grandkids, they don't like it, but I tell them anyway. They are grandkids, amen. They're mine. You know, and I tell them, don't do that. Why? Because I hate them? No, because I love them. I don't have no triggers on my guns at home, no safety devices. I just have a gun. I don't keep the bullets in the far bedroom and the key in the other room so I can unlock the safety device, go three different rooms before I can shoot somebody who comes into my house. I don't do that. You can do that if you want to, amen. Or you can call the cops, and maybe 30 minutes later they'll show up. I mean, you know, either way you like. Why? The first principle of obedience is love. And so when he says here that, listen, we're to love God with all our, and these Pharisees, these religious leaders here, who Jesus said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. You know, the Bible said when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You know, it's holy, it's sacred to be able to go to before a holy God and ask him your petitions. What are your petitions? Food, clothing, shelter. Those are the necessities of life. Amen. I mean, we have cars now because we live different places, and to go walk anymore is hard. Could ride a horse, I guess, but those days are not like they used to be. But I think about our families, our ancestors who came to Oklahoma on a covered wagon. You think it was convenient for them? No, but they did it. So when we look at the scriptures, look in verse 24 there, chapter 6. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? It's money. And so the first principle, you know, when I went in the army, they had rules. You had to follow them. They're called orders. I remember walking down the sidewalk. Every time I saw a officer, you had to come to attention, salute him. Orders. We had orders. We had to be in at a certain time. We had to get up at a certain time. I remember getting up at 4:30 and running through the swamp to Louisiana for training. Why? It's dark. But firstly, we see we must love him wholeheartedly. Our love must be wholehearted. You know what Jonathan said to David? Their souls were knit together. Jonathan loved David. He loved him. They were knit together. And that's what God wants for us, amen? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then secondly, love is the success. Love makes you successful. Listen, you know what I see all these people today? They're full of one thing that we see in the book of Ephesians, I think it is, where he tells us the works of the flesh. You know what? The first thing he says is hatred. Listen, these people are so full of hatred today because I'm blue-eyed and I'm white and I'm over 50. I am a racist. That's their opinion. I got news for you. When God made the man black, it was at the Tower of Babel, and he scattered them abroad. He did it for a purpose. I've heard years, when I was growing up, when I first got saved, I heard over and over again the Mormons teach that God made Cain black. He didn't make him black. He wasn't black. That's a lie from the devil. What did God make Cain? You read on through the scriptures after that, and you'll find out there were giants in the land. What did God do? I could see Cain out there a mile away. Why? Because he was huge. Where did the giants come from? He didn't make him black. I could see him a mile away, too, if he's black. But I'm just telling you, he was a giant. Giants were in the land. I don't see nobody, no blacks were mentioned there. It wasn't a curse. It was for their own protection because of where God put them in this world. But we see that. So the love is makes you successful. Amen. If you look over in Joshua, the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 1. How many of you think there were black people in Joshua's day? They were there. But look in chapter 1 and verse 7 and verse 8. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, to obey the commands according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Listen, obeying God, amen. His commanding, doing it wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. With my whole heart. And then to realize that if you want to be successful, I'm not talking about having a piles of money or big houses or cars, but I'm talking about being successful in life. I know lots of people I don't trust that got money. They're not worth a hoot, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm talking about being a good person. I'm talking about helping your neighbor. Always doing the right thing. That's successful to me. Man, when I die, I don't want people saying, well, that was the best old boy I ever knew. He's a good old boy. I don't want to be known as a good old boy. Amen. When they bury me, they're going to put the American flag at that end and the Christian flag at the other end. I want to be known as a servant of God, not a man serving money. He said there, you can't serve God in money. But that's what we see in our society. So there in verse 8, he said, in Joshua chapter 1, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, not day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hey, you know what Jesus said when you and I stand before him? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, think about all those people who went to church and they never gave a dime to missions. They never gave a dime to, help somebody that had problems or even buy a little bit of candy for the thing tomorrow night. Listen, I hope everybody contributed to that, gave a little bit to it so that those kids. Listen, what gets kids' attention? All that sugar. I mean, they crave it. At my house, I have a little drawer in our kitchen cabinet and it's got candy bars in it. Those little bitty candy bars. You know why? Because I got 4 grandkids that come to my house. And besides that, I love Snickers. I'm just saying, when we do, it's a simple thing to pass out candy to those kids, but to give them a gospel track. How many people would waste their time, not waste their time, but spend their time going down to Peru, Bolivia, Brazil, Mexico? The only foreign country I've ever been in is Texas. Amen. Amen. But as we look at this, and what I think today is, it's not necessarily what I think, but what God says. Amen. And so as we look at these things, with our whole heart, not half-heartedly. Amen. And so many people, they just drag into church, man, they've been eating oats out of one of those old Mully Grub barrels, you put it on the meal and eat out of it. I mean, they look terrible. I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. Is that the way we are? Amen. Man, I'm 71 years old. I've had lots of health problems. I had a spot on my lung. It's a fungus that grows in the dirt in Oklahoma. I guess I shouldn't have ate all that dirt when I was a kid. But, I mean, they had to go in there and they had to scrape that thing off from the inside of my lung. Last year, I had a double vision. I had a mini stroke in my eye. And I couldn't see. Your eyes move together like that. And this eye was staying straight like that. So when I was looking, this eye was going over here. And I said, whoa. You get old. Those things happen. But when we look at what God says, now, can you get discouraged and say, well, I don't feel good. I'm not going to church. Listen, this is the first time I haven't preached in my church in 29 years. On Sunday morning. Now, I have taken vacations and we've gone on family reunions, but I didn't preach. This is the first time I preached away from my church in 29 years. I've been there. Why? I love it. I do. I'd rather be there than anywhere else. Amen. Except heaven. Thirdly, love is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and verse 24. When the king, Saul, came back and he brought back all the sheep and he brought back all the souvenirs, when God says, don't bring back anything, destroy everything, what did he do? And that old bony-fingered prophet said, hey, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And he said, oh, I obeyed the words of the Lord. What's the next thing that old preacher said? What is the bleeding of the sheep that I hear in my ear? Did you obey? And God rejected Saul. Why? Because he disobeyed him. God said, do this. And it would have been a simple thing, but he didn't do it. And he brought back all the best. He brought back the king. He brought back all the best spoils. He brought back all these souvenirs. And God said, hey, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. You read 1 Corinthians 13, and he said, though I give my body to be burned, and though I, you know, do all these things, he said, if I don't have charity or if I don't have love, what does it do? What good does it do me? None. He said, it's like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Not music. Noise. When Moses came down off the mountain from getting the Ten Commandments, and they were out dancing and doing the jig, I'm not sure exactly what they were doing, but they were out there, and Moses looked at it and he heard it and he said, what is this noise of war? What was it? It was what they were dancing around that golden calf. You see the lie that Aaron told? They took all the earrings and the gold and they threw it in the pot, and it was a calf. It didn't happen like that. It didn't jump out of that pot, a calf. They molded it and they shaped it. And so as we think about this there in 1 Samuel 15, Saul said, hey, I have obeyed. But he didn't. And God said, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And sometimes we make sacrifices, and that's a good thing. I'm all for it. We give money to missionaries every month. My wife and I, we have faith promise at our church. We support the missionaries. We have 40 missionaries that we support every month, and we give to the faith promise. What is faith promise? Me giving what I already have. I don't have to go down the road and pick up 10 cans and give money. You could do that if you want to. But you know what? By faith, I take what I already have and I give it to the missionary. That's what it is. It's faith promise. And so these missionaries you have right here on the wall, faith promise. You promise by faith to support them. They're down there wherever they are, preaching the gospel, getting people saved, taking them to the Amazon River and baptizing them along with the piranhas. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, the missionaries, why do we support missionaries? Because God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I can't go to Brazil. God didn't call me to go to Brazil. But I can help Brother Hernandez and Brother Larson, or Brother Lunde and Brother Bruner down there. I can help them by giving faith promise. And so when we think it's better to obey, how am I obeying? I'm obeying that great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have missionaries in Mexico. We have a missionary in China, believe it or not. He's there. He's been there for years. Him and his little kids, they've grown up there. All around the world. The Larsons have some kids over in Africa. I mean, why? Why would they leave Oklahoma, the greatest state in the world? Amen. I mean, honestly, my next move is up. Amen. I'm moving to heaven next time I move. Amen. But I'm saying, why would you leave the comforts and the pleasures? I shouldn't say it like that because that's what they said in Egypt. You know, but why would we do that? Because we love God and we want to obey God. You know, and so I think today that we need to realize that. Love is a characteristic of what we, you know, who we are. You know, dogs bark. I never heard a cat bark, never. I can tell a dog by his bark, but I can't tell a tree by his bark. I don't know, but that's a characteristic of a dog, to bark. I got a dog in my backyard. He's in a fenced-in area, and I like him back there. Every time you come to my back, you drive even ride a bicycle in front of my house, the dog's barking. It's irritating sometimes. But he's there for a purpose. Amen. And so the characteristic love is the characteristic. You know, you ever wish for anything? Anticipate something? Hey, that's when you pray. What are you doing? Making petitions before God. God said, when you pray, not if you pray. You know, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not if you pray. If you hope for something, he said, if you pray, when you pray, not if. And so as we pray and we ask for our petitions, hey, listen, food, clothing, and shelter, those are natural things that we need in our life. Nobody wants to see anybody go around with no clothes on. I don't anyway. I don't want to see anybody living under the bridge down there by our church. But people do. They stand on the corner. I see them underneath some of the shade trees now in Shawnee. Shawnee's not a big town, but there they are. They've got little pup tents with those shopping carts full of junk they find everywhere. When I went to the Ivory Coast years ago, I mean, they don't throw away nothing. They take the car, they take the body and the fenders and everything off the car, and they make a little cart out of the frame. They burn the tires. In America, you couldn't burn a tire. Why? Political incorrectness. I think about how much Botox those people put in their face. That ain't very good for you, amen. I never had any, but it's a characteristic. Who are you? Huh? I'm a child of the King. And God's people, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be Christ-like. It means to be an imitator. You know what Paul said about Jesus? He went about doing good. Man, that's what when they bury me, that's what I want them to say. He went about doing good. They might have to say something bad about me, amen? But that's what I would like for them to say. He went about doing good. And so as we think about this, amen? And so if you look over in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 24, and when the messenger of John had departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What then, ye out of the wilderness? Am I right saying that right? I can't see no more. What went ye out of the wilderness to see? A reed stricken with the wind? So you're talking about John the Baptist. What did you go out to see? The characteristics of John. He was not the average college student, amen. He didn't walk down the aisle and get cum laude, how do you say that? I mean, he was dressed in leather, ate honey and wild locusts. He wasn't received right. He told the king, he said, it's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. Why? But it was the right thing to do. It was the truth. And you know, when you tell the truth, Jesus said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yeah. Right. Amen. So there in verse 24, talking about John the Baptist, you know, and he said, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and evil men out of an evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, you know how they knew that? I mean, here's Peter warming himself by the fire. This old custom sailor before he came to Christ. What did he do? They said, hey, thou art one of them. He's standing there warming himself. He said, no, I don't know him. And what did he begin to do? Began to curse. His mind went back to those sailor days when he was out there gutting fish, throwing his net, casting his net, catching nothing. Can you imagine spending all night out there not catching anything? How aggravating that is. I've been fishing plenty of times and never caught anything. I hate to go home and tell my wife I didn't catch nothing. What I hate worse is to take her with me and she catches more fish than me. Amen. I mean, I don't like that. I'm not bringing no more. Amen. But you see, when we look at this, the principle, you ought to have principles. Amen. You know what? I know what happens in our churches today with our kids. You have standards. I have standards. And our kids have our standards. And they grow up with my standards. And when they get old enough, they no longer have mine, but they don't have their own. It's a problem. You got to have principles. You got to have standards. And so what happens? That's why they start smoking. That's why they start going to places they shouldn't go. Why? Because all of their life they had my standards. My way or the highway. You ever say that to your kids? But what happens when they get to be old enough and they start out on their own? You know, my son said just a few months ago, it was cold, and it was last year, and it was cold, and I said, well, we might not have church. It was Wednesday night. And my son said, well, what about my kids? He had more convictions than I had. Do we stay home just because it's cold? I was willing to. I mean, dark 30, freezing. And I said, well, we can just not have church. You know what he said? What about my kids? Amen. You know what he had? He had more conviction than I did about it. And so when we think about this, he said, the characteristics, what are you? Hey, are you like John? Are you like the prophet that went to David? David, and he told David the story about Bathsheba and about the man who had one sheep and the other man who had all the sheep. And he took this one man's sheep. And the prophet went and told David that. And David got irate. He got mad over that. And he said, tell me who this man is. And that bony-fingered old prophet said, thou art the man. Took some courage to say that. It took some character. It takes some convictions to say that. Here's the great King David, a man after God's own heart. Amen. And then lastly, you know what love is? Love is proof of obeying. It's the proof. Listen, when somebody said, oh, I love the Bible and I love church, but they never read their Bible, they never go to church. If I told my wife, I love you, but I never go home, you think she'd believe me? And it's the same way with people. They say, well, I love church and I love the Bible, you know, but they never go to church. They never read their Bible. They never pray. The proof is you sitting on this pew right here. Sunday morning, Sunday school. Sunday morning church service. Sunday night. Saturday, whenever you have soul winning. I don't know when you have soul winning, but I'm sure Brother Larson has soul winning. Why? Because that's characteristic of him. Yes. I don't have to say I think he might, but I don't know for sure. I know for sure he does. And so when we think about this, love is proof. You know, I could tell you today, I have $1 million in the bank. Man, I'm doing good. I don't have to worry about nothing. That's what the Laodicean church says. We're rich, we're increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. But I could stand here today and say, listen, I have $1 million in the bank. Show me your bank account. Show me your statement. See, the proof is not saying it. Evidence. Let me see your bank statement. Oh, well, you know, that's personal. So is going to hell. Personal. You knock on somebody's door and say, hey, we're out from the church visiting. We stopped by to visit with you to see if you had a church home. We just, about salvation. The gospel tract tells you on side here how you can go to heaven if you don't know for sure. Hey, proof. Love is the proof of obeying. Why do we go to church? I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to put tithe in. I get to put tithe in. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I don't have to go knock on doors on Saturday morning. I get to go. I want to go. Last week, I had that Bell's palsy, and my face kind of sagged, and my eye was burning, and it was running, and my nose was running, and so I didn't go out yesterday because the pressure on my eye from the wind and just the sun, I think, too, it makes my eye run really bad, makes my nose run, so I didn't go out yesterday, but normally, I'm just saying, proof. You know, when people look at you and you say, well, I'm a Christian. When I first moved to Shawnee, there was an older man that came to our church. He had a white poodle dog hairdo. I mean, his hair was like this, sticking out like a perm. White as snow. And he came and he said, can I talk to you, preacher? And I said, yeah. He said, we've been in Shawnee 11 years. He said, I visited all the churches and we just can't find a church. You know what I said? Maybe it's not the church. Maybe there's something wrong with you. Proof. Hey, I love church. I want to go to church. Proof. Hey, do I see you there? Do I see your name on the roll? Will your name be written down? Is your name written down? I used to have a bad habit of when the preacher was preaching, I'd say, hey, take the roll. Why? Because, hey, let's see the proof. I'm not a lovey-dovey person, really, honestly. You might think I am, but I'm not. But I love God. And the reason I want to help people. I just don't want to make you feel good. I believe this. The preacher ought to comfort the afflicted, but he also afflict the comfortable. The evangelist's job is to comfort the afflicted, to my opinion. When he comes, he wants to make you feel good. He wants to give you an attaboy. He wants you to get up and start doing something. But listen, I have a different job. Not only to comfort people, but to afflict the comfortable. Because we get set in our ways and we say, oh, you know, I've been doing this for 40 years. I've been doing this for 50 years. Hey, I never get tired of doing it. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying that's who I am. That's what God wants for us. Amen. He wants us to show and to prove our love by obeying. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. And so when we have the word of God, it's better to obey God rather than man. And there in 1 Samuel, Samuel said, hey, it's better to obey God than to sacrifice. Proof is in the pudding, my mom used to say. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed.